plant.
Gladiolas,
better than people plants.
And magnolias,
they never do evil plants.
And begonias,
all they ever want is to grow. Are smarter than us.
Violets,
they make a living without any fuss.
Water,
sun, and air
are
all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls. They feed all.
Again for hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO greenhouse. At 11:05, it's the wonderful Peter Reinhardt. Who knows more about bread and pizza than Peter Reinhardt, brother Peter Reinhardt, who world famous baker and chef, got his start here in Santa Rosa. And he's got a new book. It's not coming out for a year. But we had Peter come in, have him come in anyway, and talk about his upcoming book, Perfect Pan Pizza, Detroit Roman Sicilian Focaccia and Grandma Pizza Pies to Make at Home. And I know Peter, he'll probably bring in some pizza for us to taste this morning. 636-1350, no one left over on hold from hour number one of Garden Talk. You can call us and chat with Gwen Kilcher, the garden guru of Sonoma County, who writes the popular Plant Doctor column in the Press Democrat with Dana Lozano, the first and third Saturdays of every month, and has for over 25 years. 636-1350, no one on hold, or steve@ksro.com. So getting back to Al.
We had to cut Al if you're still short. Listening. Yeah, sorry, we had to take a break. You don't want to use an auger to drill holes because the sides of the holes just glaze over because of that metal blade that just smooths out the soil. So then that's like putting your tree in an underground pot. So if you could just hand dig your soil, that would be the best thing to do. A general rule of thumb now is that you don't dig a hole to China, because a lot of the times the tree roots or the trees just slowly start sinking into the ground because the soil under the root ball is not compacted, and it slowly starts getting compacted as the tree gets older. So just dig a hole no bigger than the depth of the root ball, but twice as wide. And like I said earlier, you can throw a few shovelfuls of composted material in there and work it into the soil. You want your planting hole soil to be as comparable or the same as the existing soil. If they're so different, you know, and your planting hole soil is so good for those tree roots to grow in, why should it grow out into the existing soil, which is a bit heavier clay kind of soil? It's not as easy for the roots to get through. So they end up hitting the end of the planting hole and start circling around. And then you end up with girdled roots. So, and if you plant with a big tree, like a 24-inch box or bigger, the bigger the tree, the bigger the root system, the longer it's going to take for that root system to get established into the ground in order for the tree to start working and growing. So the tree can only do one thing at a time, and that has to get its root system established so it can start taking up water and nutrients and then to start growing. So a 5-gallon or a 15-gallon size tree is a good start. And depending on the tree that you choose, if it's a slow-growing tree, then okay, maybe you want to go with a 15-gallon. So make sure that, you know, you can pull the tree out of the pot when you're at the nursery and make sure that those roots are not girdling around the pot. If so, if there's not too many of them, you can pull them gently apart and then have somebody help you plant the tree and direct those roots to grow outwards. And then you get your tree planted, water it. Make sure the tree is watered well before you put it in the ground. That way you know that root ball is wet. And like I said earlier, put some compost on top of the soil so it prevents it acts as a buffer so the rain doesn't pound the ground and turn it into concrete or compact it even more. And in the summertime, the sun doesn't bake the soil and you're having to constantly water. So a good deep watering infrequently is the best thing to do. And check in next week too. I'm going to see, do some research on some unusual trees to plant. And one of them here, we have an email from Julie West is telling us to mention Parodia. Persicaria?
Is it? Persica.
Persica. I have two of those. But it's not really a tree. It's a large shrub, multi-trunked, a big leaves on it, and they turn like a blood reddish wine color in the fall. They're beautiful, and I love mine.
And drought tolerant is what Julie was telling us. Fairly drought tolerant.
If she says so, yeah. I have found that I have two of them growing in two different places. The one that gets more water looks better than the one that I have neglected. It tends to turn color quicker in the fall, and it doesn't stay colorful as long as the other one. It starts to turn a bit brown. So, where I am and where Julie is are two different microclimates. So, it is a little bit more drought tolerant, but I think it would look better if it had a little bit of watering. So you get back to listen to us next week, Al, and I'll have a few good trees for you.
Hi, Gwen and Steve. I have a question for you. My question is, I save my seed for my heirloom tomatoes every year. Can I do the same for my golden beets?
Save seeds for golden beets. That's cool.
She says
cool.
He buys seed at the store, and they're very expensive, and you don't get that many.
Yeah.
Thanks, and that's Mike Shepherd.
Yeah. I buy my seeds from Fedco, and they cater more towards large growers, farmers and people that grow a lot of one thing. So I get a lot of seeds for, pretty inexpensive from Fedco Seed Company. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can save seeds of anything, especially when they're open pollinated seeds. So golden beet seed is an heirloom. It takes about 2 years for beet seeds to develop. So you want to make sure that you have that variety planted by itself. Don't have it next to other varieties of beets that they could possibly cross-pollinate, although they really don't do that, but it's possible. So if you want to make sure, you're going to go through 2 years of waiting to get your golden beet seeds, you want to make sure that there are no other varieties around it. So you keep them watered, don't harvest anything, just let the beets grow. The leaves will continue to grow, the beet itself will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and by the second year of early summer, it's going to start sending up a flower stalk, and then it'll have little flowers on it. If you want, you could put a lightweight mesh bag over it and tie it around the base of the plant to make sure that no bees can go and visit it. So you wait and wait and wait, and eventually the flowers will fall off, and then you'll have your seeds forming. You can make sure that it's tied at the base pretty tight, because as the wind comes along and the seeds start to mature and they're going to fall, so you want them to fall into that netting. And then once they start to fall, you can just cut it at the base or pull the whole thing out, shake the seeds out or off of that flower stalk, and then here are your seeds. So it is a lot of work. It is time consuming. It's 2 years worth. Check out Fedco Seeds or some other supplier that sells, bulk seeds, maybe a large quantity of seeds for, less money than, some of the more common seed companies that you see that do sell, 25 seeds for $3 and stuff like that. So.
And how many beet varieties do you grow?
Me?
Yeah.
Over 10. Okay. They range from white to, stripes, to reds, to yellows, to dark reds. Yeah, I am positive it's over 10 varieties.
There's your answer, Mike. There's your beet tutorial. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll turn our attentions to the great wide world of olives with Professor Landis. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. You can reach us at 636-1350. And certainly if you're growing olive trees, having problems with olive trees, would like to make your own olives, This is the man that can lead you in the right direction. 636-1350. Of course, any general gardening questions, we'd love to hear from you this morning, either by phone or Steve at KSRO.com.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderful fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Walker Apples is back, and master gardeners are available to answer gardening questions. Stop by the Beet Generation Farm. You'll find cucumbers, Romano beans, and Libby's own handmade pasta. Anna's Seafood offers a wide variety of fresh fish, and Strauss Family Dairy has a full line of dairy products, including yogurt and ice cream. The market now has, in addition to Two Rock Goat Cheese, Joe Matos and Pazzo Marco Dairy showcasing their fabulous cow cheeses. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to hummus. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hello, I'm Joyce DeFalla, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We want to let you know that in addition to our Sunday morning services, we also have an informal Sunday evening service at 7 p.m. and a free one-hour class on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, please visit our website, cslsr.org. That's the initials for the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, cslsr.org. You can also give us a call at 707-546-4543. That's 707-546-4543. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology actively invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you, the needle in the haystack.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/try. That's ZipRecruiter.com/try.
Join Mike Kelly on the Real Estate Hour Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on KSRO. The Real Estate Hour is the longest running talk show in the North Bay. Tune in for tips on buying and selling your home, the loans to look for, and Sonoma County real estate market knowledge from a guy who's been selling it full-time right here since 1978. Call in live and ask your questions direct to Mike. That's the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly, Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KSRO and streaming live on KSRO.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk live at KSRO. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. And sliding into the third microphone chair is Don Landis. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning, everybody out there. And good morning, Steve and Gwen.
This is pretty exciting. We've had Don on the show for many years with Don's many seminars throughout Sonoma County at the Olive Festivals and at Jacuzzi down there in the Carneros region, and Don's home-cured olive recipes that he has regaled us with over the years. And look, Gwen, you've already gone through about 8 or 10 olives during the break.
I can't believe you, Steve. And they were delicious, every single one of them.
Yeah, Don's come laden with beautiful olives. And I know that sometimes people are not able to get to the olive festivals that happen a couple times a year or certain seminars when Don is teaching. But now you've become legit.
Yeah, it's Professor Olive.
Congratulations.
Tell us about this class you're teaching.
This is the third or fourth year, and we are so fortunate in Sonoma County. It's unbelievable. Not only do we have Garden Talk and the Food News Hour, which is awesome, and the farmers markets, which are really cool, but we have Santa Rosa Junior College. And at the junior college, not only the main campus and structure of the college is a segment called the Community Education Department. And that is a teaching environment where local people who have skills and knowledge are offered, and they call it course proposal, to teach at in a classroom to people who might be interested in what you do. And it's offered to professors at the college and to anyone who has skills, and they interview you and ask you what's your course going to be about. And it's a pretty extensive interview. And then they say, yeah, well, you can do it. And I've been talking about olives. And the beautiful thing for me is when I do wineries and other presentations, it's kind of limited in time. But I got a full 3 hours of talking olives that and can really let it rip. So it's a lot of fun. But it's honestly, the community ed, if you look through the catalog, it is incredible the diverse knowledge that people are offering to share and their experience and their knowledge to just everyone. It's really a beautiful thing.
So this course is coming up next week, isn't it?
Yeah, the first Saturday after Labor Day. Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I flipped, and that is in the beginning, like 20 years ago, I was doing my presentations with the Sonoma Valley Olive Festival, mm-hmm. which was December through February. And that actually was a Chamber of Commerce and the Sonoma County Vintners and other people's method of filling up dark time in the wine industry for none other than olives. But it ended up that the olives are all gone by December. So now I do my presentations and try to share as much with people while the olives are still on the tree. So if they have olives and they've always said, well, I want to do something with them, I want to learn about them, they don't have to wait a year. So now they can do it and harvest and go to town.
Marvelous. So during the course, you'll, of course, talk about the history of olives. I would guess maybe some olive tree management and care and pruning besides the curing process and the brining process. You'll cover some of that, too?
Yep. And I want to interrupt you for one moment, though. I stopped calling the process curing because actually it's debittering, and you don't need to cure the olive fruit to get the bitter component out, because it's a glucide compound, it's a molecule, and it's water soluble.
Okay.
And I learned this from my New Zealand or Australian friends, because they use the English language in a special way. They don't call them vineyards, they call them vineyards, and they don't call it curing, they call it debittering. And debittering is really what you're doing to the olive fruit to make it edible, because it's disgustingly bitter on the tree.
And you use water, you don't use lye, is that
No lye. I do water and also brine, and brining is really the primo way to do it, because in the strong brine, the fruit's preserved. You don't have to refrigerate it or do anything. And then the other methods, you know, is the dry salt method, and that you have to have a special fruit and a special color. But if you're going to do any color, any size, any variety, then water debittering is great. And I was just starting to explain it to Gwen. My water debittering process is a takeoff of the Mediterranean cracked olive style, which the fruit's harvested really early, and people don't know it. On the tree, the olives are hard as a rock. So when you harvest them early in the Mediterranean, and a lot of other people also, they just whack them and it cracks them open, and then they start the process, because that opens up the meat to the water, so to speak. So, but for me, what I do is I poke them, And that is just my way of doing it. And in all of the processes of making the olive edible, there are passed on through families and communities and regions so many different ways to make them edible. The main idea is hopefully to preserve some of the fruit, and that's why I don't advocate using lye, because that creates an alkaline brine, which chemically destroys the bitter component, and it's not a nano device. It doesn't only go to the bitter component. When you have the olive in alkaline brine, it destroys all the minerals and nutrients, mm-hmm. too. That's why the black olive, I call that cardboard. Don't get mad at me, Lindsay Olives.
They're the largest producer of those Black Mission olives.
That is a wonderful story, too. I always like to allude to this because we did workshops and still do at B.R. Cohn, but with new owners because Bruce is gone. And one day, my wife, Marion, oh, by the way, hello, Marion. Happy 43rd anniversary. she came up to me after the workshop and said, because during the workshop, there are certain things that I carry on every presentation throughout. And I always stand in front of the people and I cross my fingers and say, cardboard, when describing black olives. So Marion came up to me and she said, you know who was in the crowd today? No. One of the vice presidents of Lindsay Olives. And there's no debate. I mean, it's not like you're saying they're doing things wrong, because using the lye process is a really common mm-hmm. way commercially to get the mm-hmm. olives from the tree to the table as fast as possible. So all the power to them, but it's not a natural process. So.
How was the olive harvest this year? I know we had rains in like March.
It's not yet. September, October, November.
But what do we have an idea of what it's going to be? Have you talked to growers?
I know. I've had some people complain that they've had barren trees.
Yeah.
And mine's one of them.
Yeah, my trees are barren too, but I pruned a lot last year anyway, so I was expecting it. But actually, I'm not even going to be harvesting my own olives this year, because I used to harvest 22 trees at a winery in Dry Creek Valley every year where I got most of my olives, like 400 or 500 pounds. And the winery sold, and the new owners won't let me harvest there anymore.
Oh, geez.
So no more Landis family picking party or anything. But I do have a partner now who has 20 acres, 2,000 trees, and we get 100 tons of olives in Lindsay. And with that many trees, we're going to have plenty of olives. So, but word around is it's light. But because the olive fruit tree is really susceptible, I don't know if that's the right way to apply it, to alternate bearing.
Yeah,
you can have a great year one year and not the next. And for me, I'm still a refrigeration technician. And I drive all around, and I see these uncared for trees that are loaded with olives, and I always pray that my trees would look like that. But actually, I don't know in general. If people have a lot of trees, there's never going to be really a bad year, because there's always going to be trees that have fruit on it. But I have had people ask me, what's wrong this year?
Do people ask you to come out and consult at all with their olive trees, or... Yeah, I mean, you still do.
Oh, yeah. That's, especially from like March or April until, you know, they flower.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been asking about integrated pest management for the olive fruit fly. So then I do a lot of that, and I take care of some people's trees for them. And I'm not really a tree person, so I usually refer people off, especially with pruning. I have two people that I refer people to for pruning, but I can look at a tree and tell somebody, well, this really needs to be pruned, or no, you're good. Stop snipping it already.
Yeah. So olive fruit fly, have we pretty much taken care of that, or at least the spinosad is a good control for that?
We'll never take care of the olive fruit fly, because around here it's a perfect environment for it, because it's nice and cool and dark. When it's over 90, the female stings the egg and it dies, so they kind of stay away from those areas, so we won't hear. And the spinosad is actually not really the appropriate way to describe that, in that it's an active ingredient. And I've had a lot of people, and I think we talked about it, Glenn, that they would search for product with the most spinosad in it, but they don't read the label, and the product doesn't deliver the spinosad in an appropriate way that the olive fruit fly actually consumes it and dies. Like the GF120, the Dow product, has a molassesy base that the spinosad's in, and then there are other products like Captain Jack's and Monterey that have the spinosad in it, but they don't make the spinosad interesting for the fly. So now I refer people to the Kale and Clay Surround product. Oh. It's really very, very, very effective. And when I first bought my first gallon of GF120 in 2003, it was $76 a gallon. Now it's like over $210 a gallon. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't really work if you're in a real heavy fly population, because it's attract and kill, and you're spot spraying the tree, and you really don't know if you're really getting the flies. Even though you still trap, you always still have to trap. And with the trapping, I recommend the McPhail type trap with the Terula yeast in it. Mm-hmm. So that's really effective. So there are ways to manage the olive fruit fly, but if you're in an area where a lot of people aren't doing anything with their fruit and just letting the olive fruit fly population grow and grow, you're going to be dealing with them.
Well, forever. Some growers have said that what they're concerned about now is the imminent arrival of the olive moth.
Yeah, and there's a variety of different malaise to the olive. There's the tree issues, some things, and like in Greece and in parts of Spain had some kind of really exotic diseases that I really don't keep up on. So, you know, every beautiful thing has its downsides. You know, when you're going camping and you're sitting around the fire and then the bugs start attacking you, it's like you're in paradise and there's the bugs. So the darn bugs, you know, that's an appropriate name for them.
All About Olives. It's Don Landis, and that's the name of his course at the SRJC. Oh, that's September 8th. We'll tell you how to enroll and what it's going to cost and the times and all of that when we return. If you have all of the questions, certainly call us this next half hour, 636-1350, especially about making your own lye-free olives or some general olive care and planting and care questions. That's all we'll talk about. But besides that, any and all other gardening questions are fair game, too. 636-1350. Gwen's here to answer them and lead you in the right direction. Or you can always shoot us an email if you prefer not to call. Well, we love to talk with you, though. We like the sound of your voice. Steve@KSRO.com.
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5. South County 94.5. KSRO.
You expect a Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa to offer the best in performance. You expect Mercedes to be sophisticated. But when it comes to being expensive, expect the unexpected. Purchase a Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa certified pre-owned vehicle right now and receive 2.99% financing up to 72 months on select models. And now get added confidence with a new unlimited mileage warranty from 1 to 3 years. Best of all, it doesn't start until your vehicle's original 4-year 50,000-mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle warranty expires. Take advantage now at Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa. Smothers, a family-owned business since 1982 on the Corby Auto Row and Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa. Join Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa and E.R. Sawyer Jewelers for the Mercedes-Benz Championships Golf Tournament, Monday, September 10th at Sonoma Golf Club, benefiting the YWCA of Sonoma County. For details and to sign up, visit SantaRosaMercedesBenzChampionships.com.
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
The Shutterbug. Life is fleeting. Special moments pass us by in a flash. Soccer goals, dance recitals, colorful sunsets over the ocean. For 50 years, Shutterbug Camera Shops on Santa Rosa Avenue has taught you how to capture those fleeting moments. And it all comes with expertise. Shutterbug Camera Shops and you, capturing a lifetime of special moments. ShutterbugCameraShops.com.
Shutterbug, old-fashioned service in a digital age.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Counter-protesters today after the fall of the Silent Sam statue on the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill campus earlier this week. Today, they were met by a small but angry group carrying Confederate flags. While they refused to give their names, they were very clear. This isn't the last word.
Come peaceful, and that's where we want to stay. But you got a couple out here that don't want to be peaceful, so they're going to get what they're going to get.
A statue depicting a Confederate soldier stood on the campus for 105 years. President Trump hinting at a big trade agreement with Mexico. Trump says on Twitter that the U.S.-Mexico relationship is getting closer by the hour, and he says a trade deal could be happening soon. His family says Senator John McCain has decided to discontinue brain cancer treatment. In a statement, the family saying, in the year since John has surpassed expectations for survival, but the progress of disease and inexorable advance of age render their verdict. He's being visited by friends and colleagues at his Arizona home. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies today before back to partly cloudy skies. Today topping out at 79, 61 on the coast. Mostly clear tonight, low 49, 51 on the shores. Tomorrow partly cloudy at 77, 61 in Bodega Bay. Few clouds still for Monday at 76, 63 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Joining Gwen Kilcher and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO greenhouse. And we're talking what else? One of the two things that Don knows about, refrigeration and olives. All about olives. We're not going to talk refrigeration because most people would probably not have a clue what you're talking about.
No, we don't want to talk about refrigeration.
But olives is something that most people do love. We've been snacking on olives, the courtesy of Don Landis. And he's doing a class at the JC. It's September the 8th, that's Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. He's going to pack a lot into 3 hours because Don is a talker. It's at 1588 Emeritus Hall, that's right on the JC campus, and the fee's $82, and that includes $1 of materials. But the people will go away with olives, won't they?
No, but they'll be eating olives.
Will they be eating olives?
We do three breaks. We eat olives and tampinon, cheese and crackers, and I supply beverages, San Pellegrinos and water. So it's a load of fun because, like at all the presentations, there's always people that do have experience and they share their experience. And when you asked earlier,
and they'll get a packet of recipes, won't they?
They'll get the recipe packet for sure.
Okay.
But one of the things you mentioned earlier was about the content of it, and when it comes to, I'm not really an olive tree person, but I do talk about pruning and some of the tree care, and I can guide people when they have deeper interests, like if they're planning on getting trees or they have trees, they have questions. I have a really extensive referral base, but my number one main referral is over at the Master Gardener and UC Cooperative Extension in Santa Rosa and UC Davis, because aside from the beauty of SRJC, and the community ed department, which I get to offer my class, we are so fortunate to have the UC system and have UC Davis, and you can go online or you can go in person over by where the Agricultural Commissioner's office is and meet with master gardeners and people from the University of California Cooperative Extension. And knowledge is just oozing out of the place. So you can get one of the things I learned from refrigeration being a technician is you don't need to know everything, but you need to know where to get the answers. And calling up Garden Talk and talking to Gwen and Steve is one way. The other way is over at the Agricultural Commissioner's office, the UC Cooperative Extension and the Master Gardeners. And it's fun too. So if you have any dilemmas that you have, there's always a way to get the answers aside from just going to the nurseries. And if you nursery people are out there, don't take offense to this, but when people ask me questions, I tell them to call two or three or four nurseries and write notes and ask the same questions and try not to get swept into their getting them to have their salespeople hats on, because then they might try selling you things when all you're interested in is knowledge. But if you call two or three and you have real earnest and serious tree questions, you can really get the answers from the really experienced nursery people that we have around here in Sonoma County or Northern California.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good ones.
There are.
636-1350 if you want to chat all those or any garden-related questions. We'll take them this morning live as always. No one on hold at this moment. You can get right in, or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com, with garden questions or comments.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings.
Every 30 minutes all the time.
On FM News Talk Radio.
103.5 FM
and 94.5 FM.
KSRO.
This is Noreen Evans. You deserve to be made whole for your losses from last October's wildfires. While you have 2 years from the date of the fire to file your claim against PG&E, filing as soon as possible gives us time to complete your case and have it ready for trial or settlement from PG&E. We will prepare a comprehensive list of the contents and property you lost, including trees. This will help make sure PG&E reimburses you what you deserve as soon as possible. We have an entire team of home content specialists who work with our clients every day to build a complete profile of what was lost. This information will be critical in making you whole and ensuring PG&E gives you what you deserve. Thousands have hired us already, and we're working to make their case files settlement ready. You can join them today and take action to hold PG&E accountable. Learn more or sign up online today at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445.
Noreen Evans of Watts Guerra LLP is the attorney responsible for the content of this advertisement.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderful fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Walker Apples is back, and Master Gardeners are available to answer gardening questions. Stop by the Beet Generation Farm. You'll find cucumbers, Romano beans, and Libby's own handmade pasta. Anna's Seafood offers a wide variety of fresh fish, and Strauss Family Dairy has a full line of dairy products, including yogurt and ice cream. The market now has, in addition to Two Rock Goat Cheese, Joe Matos and Pazzo Marco Dairy showcasing their fabulous cow cheeses. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to hummus. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
I was up all night with Justin again. Kids with autism keep the craziest hours. I don't think I've had a full night's sleep since he was born.
Caring for a child with challenges like autism or Down syndrome can drain your resources.
Tom's already working two jobs trying to keep up with all the medical bills. It never ends. I wish I could help, but taking care of Justin is a full-time job.
You could be eligible for federal and state benefits that will pay you up to $4,000 a month.
What do I have to do to get that kind of help?
Contact Galt Advocacy.
Is Galt Advocacy a law firm?
No, an advocacy group. They connect people with disabilities to benefit programs, advocate for those denied services, and even help you get paid as a caregiver for your own child.
How do I find them?
Their website is galtadvocacy.com. There's no upfront cost, and the consultation is free.
Let me write that down.
GALTadvocacy.com.
Thanks.
Galt Advocacy. When you take a stand, you won't stand alone. GaultAdvocacy.com.
He never met an olive he didn't like. It's Don Landis joining Gwen Kilcher. And
all of the, you.
All of, oh, that's good. All of you. Why not take all of you? No, it's all of me, but I'll change the words. Community Ed at the JC Fall 2018 featuring Don Landis and his All About Olives class. You can go to the JC website, communityed.santarosa.edu.
The easiest way is just to go to Santa Rosa JC and click on the Community Ed link.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many people? Is it limited to
35.
Oh, okay. But get on, get it now and do a fun thing on Saturday. I know that you'll miss some of Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour, but it's worth it for one Saturday to spend with Don Landis on the 8th of September, which will be a lot.
Don't you remember when you were a kid, you had your transistor radio with the little earbud?
I did.
Listening to the World Series in school?
I did.
Now, right? So you can do that in my class, I guess, without getting olives thrown at you.
So I see that you are doing the Greek brine, the water brine, and the dry salt. Now you call them methods. When I hear dry salt, I call that a cure. I call that a dry salt cure.
That would be more appropriate.
It would
yes,
be?
Okay, it would be.
Because Don took issue with me by using the word cure.
The debittering, right. You know, it's semantics can be a fun thing, and it also can create wars. So.
That's great. So
you say tomato, I say tomato, right?
Ever since you started doing olives in the community, I know people have asked you, where can I buy your olives? And up to this point, that really wasn't in the cards, but you are kind of working on possibly bringing these to the commercial market, the retail market?
Yeah, actually, the tamponade is getting pretty close because I'm getting ready to go to the shelf life testing lab. I'm actually trying to select the one. I have a co-packer who, after I do the shelf life testing, will give me a developmental process.
What is shelf life testing lab?
What's shelf that? Life.
Oh, shelf life, pardon me. Okay.
So the shelf life testing lab takes your product in containers that you're going to sell it in and stores it the way that you are. And my product is going to be refrigerated because I don't want to have to acidify it to keep it natural. That's what the main focus of selling the olives and the tamponade is, for it to be natural and not acidified. So the lab will take it, refrigerate it, and once a month, they'll open up a container and look for activity inside, microbial or bacterial, and tell you if there's bad things happening. And I went to talk to Dave from Sonoma Brinery, and he said the number one thing you got to look for is yeast. So dealing with different ways to try and make sure that there's no yeast, because he said that's the one thing that'll really expand and grow. But that's mostly in non-refrigerated environments, and mine's going to be refrigerated. So my main hope is to have as close to 6 month shelf life, of anywhere between 4 and 6 months. But I don't want the tamponade sitting in a shelf in a store, you know, more than a few days. So, but that's the next step. And then after that, the co-packer will do the developmental process of getting ready for packaging and designing labeling and trying to select a package. And then so that maybe 7-8 months from now, I'll be selling the tamponade. And then this year's harvest in September and October, the fruit that I'm getting for that, I might be selling that as regular table olives by next maybe July or August or September.
And where would you sell these? In retail or at farm markets?
All around. Just go around. I'm not going to do farmers markets. Don't take offense, farmers markets people, but
not for you.
I'm not going to be doing the refrigeration very much longer, and I'm going to be having more time to volunteer, which I really miss doing, and getting into the olive world commercially. And I am creating more revenue streams and branding Don's Olives. And you can see it on my website, Don's Olives. And So the selling is one of those things I have to learn about. I have an appointment with SCORE, who I used a lot when I had Rainbow Refrigeration for advice. And I've been reaching out to people who've been selling their own product. And there's a lot to learn, and a lot of I've heard a lot of pitfalls. Like one,
oh, that was a good joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Sorry about that. So one fellow who is actually pretty famous in selling products, I contacted him about where do I get nutritional data label. And he says, so what? You have something that you really like and you think people are going to want to buy it? Like, who are you? What are you doing?
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I do, actually. So I've gleaned a lot of knowledge about the selling products from so many people in Sonoma County have really great opportunity for foods, you know, restaurant people who I met doing refrigeration work, and just so it's a learning experience, but it's part of the spice of life.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Gwen and Steve. Good morning. Friends and I just went to Aztec Gardens on Petaluma in Petaluma yesterday, just what you were talking about earlier in the show, and so enjoyed their stunning dahlias. There is such a variety in structure and color and size that a visit there makes it very easy to plan ahead. And that's from Leanne, who just sent us that email. So check out dahlias in Petaluma at Aztec Dahlias when you get a chance. We'll be back. We could take some questions at 636-1350 or steve at ksro.com for Garden Talk live until 11 o'clock. Then it's Peter Reinhart on the Good Food Hour, who will regale us with ideas and recipes and thoughts and histories of pizza in his up-and-coming new pizza book.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
At Bigham's 1 Hour Heating and Air, we know that homeowners can feel overwhelmed when needing to replace essential home comfort systems. We have a plan to reduce your stress and help you invest. You might be surprised to know that there are rebates up to $3,000 as well as tax credits up to 30% on Bigham's proprietary hybrid heating and cooling systems. These systems literally pay you when installed in your home. We do all the work submitting paperwork so that you can sit back and take full advantage of these rebates and tax credits. It's rare that these incentives would overlap in the way that they do right now, so don't wait. Tune it up or change it out. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP. Local, reliable, Bigham's 1 hour, 844-5-TUNE-UP. Get your existing AC running like a top for only $49, 844-5-TUNE-UP or 844-5-TUNE-UP.com.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderful fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Walker Apples is back, and Master Gardeners are available to answer gardening questions. Stop by the Beet Generation Farm. You'll find cucumbers, Romano beans, and Libby's own handmade pasta. Anna's Seafood offers a wide variety of fresh fish, and Strauss Family Dairy has a full line of dairy products, including yogurt and ice cream. The market now has, in addition to Two Rock Goat Cheese, Joe Matos and Pazzo Marco Dairy showcasing their fabulous cow cheeses. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to hummus. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. For almost 50 years, United Way of the Wine Country has been dedicated to improving lives locally. They're deeply committed to achieving lasting solutions for the entire community in the areas of education, financial stability, and health. Through programs such as Schools of Hope, School Readiness Backpacks, Summer Reading Packs, and Little Free Libraries, and Earn It, Keep It, Save It, United Way is creating opportunities for a better life for all. We all win when a child succeeds in school, when all families and individuals are financially stable, and when people are healthy. It takes everyone in the community working together and living united to create a brighter future. To find out how you can give, advocate, or volunteer with the United Way of the Wine Country, go online to unitedwaywinecountry.org or call United Way at 707-528-4485. That's 707-528-4485.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk Live, and Mitch has a question about olives. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Mitch.
Good morning. How are you folks today?
Great, thank you.
Good.
I have access to some what I call boutique wineries, you know, 5 to 20 acres that have olives around them and a couple neighbors that have olive trees. And they're a small, obviously, little green thing, and I didn't know if there were certain varieties or something that you can't utilize to go through your process, and I'm going to sign up for your class, but I didn't know if I can just go pick them and what time to pick them, and then I'll learn the rest, I guess, at your course.
Yeah.
The olive is known as the noble fruit, and it is extremely unusual from a lot of different perspectives. One of the perspectives that makes the olive pretty unique is that the different varieties of olives have constituencies in them that make for the use. And what I tell people is, well, what are you going to use as a recipe to make the olive edible, and what are you going to use it for? If you're going to use it for olive oil, or if you're going to use it for table olives, then the variety of olive will dictate it. And this is a real crack-up funny story. A guy came up to me and said, I live in Redwood City, and the house that I bought it because it has a lovely tree, olive tree out in front. It was beautiful. And I waited until September, and I picked the olives, and they were disgusting. So I waited till they were purple in November, and I picked them, and they were still disgusting. I want to get a new tree. And the guy didn't know what it was all about olives. So what I'm driving at is that idea of what you would be using the olives for. So generally speaking, and this is just in general terms, smaller olives usually have a higher oil content and larger olives have a lower oil content. So if you're going to get olives for oil, you would need to get the right variety. And as an example, Picheline olives, which are what are at B.R. Cone, if you milled a ton of Picheline olives, you might get 50 or 55 gallons of olives. And those are little olives, smaller than a marble. If you do giant, colossal Sevillano olives and milled a ton of those olives, you'd get 35 gallons of oil. So 50 gallons, 35 gallons. It doesn't mean that any variety wouldn't be appropriate, but commercially, they're selected for that purpose. So if you have access, Mitch, to certain olives, you can use them for any way that you want. The only other aspect that comes into play is the meat-to-pit ratio. So when you have small olives and a medium-sized pit, and then you go through the process to make them edible, there's not much meat on them, well, what's the sense? Where if you get a Sevillano and it has a big pit, but it has a lot of meat, then you got a lot of meat to eat. So that aspect of the meat to pit ratio comes into play also. So the constituency that's in the fruit, the olive oil, the oil content, or the amount of meat you have, all of those come into play. And for people who have access to go around and glean olives, like I used to do 25 years ago, once I started, and it took me 3 years to make olives that I really liked them because I didn't really want bitter. But when I started out, I used to glean olives from all over Sonoma County, and I started to search for as big an olive as I could get. The bigger, the better. So a lot of times you don't really have the opportunity to glean from different people's trees and really get exactly what you want. But there are ways where you can buy fresh olives, which I can share with you. So with the ones that you talked about, Mitch, at the wineries and wherever else, you can certainly make use of them. And it will offer you lots of different types of end result product.
Thanks so much for your call, Mitch. And that takes us down to the last 30 seconds with Don Landis. Well said, Don. Remember, if you want to go into the olive oil business, you're not going to get rich. Make wine instead. You know, when you look at the numbers, a ton of grapes yields 150 gallons of juice, but a ton of olives yields 30 gallons of oil. Join Don Landis at the SRJC September 8th for his Art of Olive class. Good luck on that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Gwen, we'll see you next week, the 1st of September.
Happy olives.
Wow.
Stick around. Brother Peter Reinhardt of the KSRO Kitchen, that following the news. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
Sonoma County.